Today we hear a gospel that sounds familiar. It may seem so, but it's a slightly different passage than we're used to hearing from Matthew. The story reported by Matthew is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's account of the sayings of Jesus are not from a mount. Rather, he's speaking to us from the plains. This gospel is known as the Sermon on the Plains. You will note that rather than speak from a high place, Jesus is speaking down near the ground. Here is Jesus not high on a mountain teaching, as he does in the Sermon on the Mount, but he's there among the sick and poor. Jesus is in the midst of those who are reaching out to touch him. The passage says he looked up to teach his disciples. Is he physically on the ground with the outcasts and sick people he's healing? Luke then provides a narrative of who is blessed and, importantly, who is not. And one of those sayings is, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Jesus' Sermon on the Plain has similar characteristics to much of Luke's gospel. In his version of the gospel, Luke continually paints a picture of a world turned upside down. At the start of the ministry, Jesus reads from Isaiah in his hometown. He promises the poor would receive good news, the captives would be released, and the blind would see. The crowd that day turned pretty ugly, as we heard in our gospel 2 weeks ago. Here on the plain, this is a different day and a different crowd. The multitude gathered around Jesus are exactly the kinds of people he came to proclaim the favor of God. As a matter of fact, he might even be below them. We hear Jesus literally has to look up before he can teach. And are they somehow standing above him? Have his disciples removed themselves from the seething masses of suffering? Is this why Jesus has to make sure that they really take notice of these poor, sad, discarded people? Don't you realize these are the blessed of God, he seems to say. This is where we should focus our attention, because it is these people who have God's attention. God sees them even when no one else does. I read a piece written by Mark Larson, who's a Lutheran pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, that got me thinking about why Jesus calls those who weep blessed, and trying to see if there's a connection to stories in my own life. You know, few of us are comfortable with tears or with people crying. When someone is crying, we often are quick to give them a Kleenex to help them stop. Yet in my life and ministry, I find often it is in the places and times of tears when we find God coming to us in powerful, profound, life-changing ways. In short, sometimes we deserve to weep, and we need to weep and not be stopped. I remember a story of someone who deserved to weep and wept indeed that I will share. It was 1975, and I was 18 years old in my first year of Roman Catholic Seminary at Aquinas College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My seminary was about 3 blocks from Blodgett Hospital in East Grand Rapids. In 1975, the wife of my school principal was admitted with stage 4 cancer. I can't remember what kind. I would walk down the hill periodically to visit Georgine. In high school, I directed a small adult choir for special occasions. And Georgine was my lead soprano and had an operatic voice, and we were friends. I remember visiting her one time in the hospital, and her husband Tony was there, my former school principal. Knowing I was studying to become a priest, Tony took Georgine's hand and said, Ron, you are becoming a priest, and if you want to know what marriage looks like, this is what it looks like. So don't forget it. And my friends, I never have. I continued to visit Georgine through the next year whenever she would be driven down to Grand Rapids from our hometown, which was 120 miles away, to be readmitted. One day in October 1976, I went to see her. This time, I didn't say a word. She, however, talked nonstop for some 2 hours, crying much of the time as I sat by her bed. At the end of our visit, I simply invited us to say the Lord's Prayer, and then I left. I was surprised to hear from my mom a few days later that Georgine was released and came back home because she seemed so sick days earlier. My mom worked in a hardware garden store. She said Georgine came into the store to buy a trellis for the spring for her roses. She obviously was in remission, or so we thought. 3 days later, she died. I was given permission to go and leave seminary to attend the funeral. I went, but having to drive back nearly 3 hours after the service, I did not stay for the reception. Tony saw me leaving in the parking lot, and I explained to him that I had to get back to seminary. He said, "I'm sorry that you are leaving, because Georgine's mother wanted to meet the young man who helped her daughter accept death." Those words still hit me as they did then. You see, I said nothing during that visit. I simply sat there and let her get out all the tears she needed to get out. She deserved to weep. She was a young mom in her 30s with 3 small children and a husband who adored her, and here she was having to leave. She had a beautiful singing voice and was a gentle soul, and was being called back to God too soon. She had a lot to cry about. Without having the language or knowledge of what to do, God just sent me so she could cry in front of someone and gain the peace she needed for her impending journey. It was this experience as a young man that gave me a glimpse into the blessedness of tears. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. To be blessed, after all, is to know that you have God's attention, to know that wherever you go, you will not be alone. To be blessed is to know that you are valued and important, simply because God has made you priceless. In this story of Luke's sermon on the plain, suddenly the separation between the disciples and the crowd is removed. Everyone is connected because the only possession anyone really has is the blessing of God. In Luke, Jesus is blessing the real poor, hungry, grief-stricken, and outcasts of this world, not the poor in spirit in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus promises a world turned upside down, from the poor being lifted up and the mighty cast down in Luke's Magnificat, to the captives released, to the reviled who are blessed. These are the people God notices and blesses. These are the people Jesus came to release. In Luke, Jesus is also clear that wealth and privilege have real dangers. They have the power to separate one from God and from the rest of the human community. Jesus spells out the woes of this reality, in which the comfortable and wealthy better beware. The kingdom of God belongs to those who have nothing except God. And as I say often to people as they are ending toward the end of their life, everything we have is taken away from us, except God in the end. Maybe if we spent less time celebrating our victories and priding ourselves on our position, we might know more of God's blessing. Maybe if we were more honest about our own brokenness, we would know how close we really are to one another and how very much we need one another. After all, we are all broken. Some of us have lost health or lost loved ones or relationships or lost jobs. Our brokenness is personal and it's unique. It's truly ours and no one else's. And yet, it connects us one to another because we are all broken in some way. When Jesus said, "Blessed are those who weep," he's pointing out that this sadness is also a sign of something deeper. All of us mourn because the world is so far from God's purposes. Instead of separating us into imaginary hierarchy of need, we are brought closer in our shared weeping over this world. We look around, we see injustice, we see exploitation, we see violence, and the faithful cannot help but mourn. I think that includes all of us, no matter who we voted for, no matter our economic status, our sexual orientation, or ethnic background. We are all mourning. We hear of borders closed and walls being built, and we know this is not how God works. We hear of Hispanic and Islamic brothers and sisters living in fear, and we mourn. We listen to vitriolic words coming from all sides, and we wonder, where is our comfort to come from? Well, here's the good news today. Blessed are those who weep. God hears you. God knows you. God comes close to you. And God will not let you go. We all deserve to weep, but we are all blessed. We are not alone. How would we look at our neighbors if we saw them as both broken and blessed? Would we see our brother and sister more than a nuisance, not a threat? Would we hear Jesus say, "Come, you are blessed. Join me here on the plain"? In Pastor Larson's article, he shared a story of how we might react if we simply could see a cartoon bubble above everyone's head to know what they're really thinking and saying. How would we treat one another if we could really see the pain and brokenness in everyone else's bubble? I believe that all the walls and all the distances we place between ourselves and others would disappear. After all, we worship a God who is not content to look down upon us from some safe haven light years away. We follow a Savior who gets down, right down on the same plane with those in the deepest pain, with those who have nothing left. He looks up at us, at his disciples, and invites us to join him there. He reminds us that this is where God is looking. And by the way, we are not so different. We are broken too, and we yearn for a world turned upside down from the one that we currently have. My friends, we all deserve to weep, and we are all blessed. Amen.